academy that I work at, and I had a student that came 1 hour late for his final. And he was one of those borderline students that we didn't know if he was going to pass or not. And he came an hour late, kind of studied late, and decided to exploit my kindness for weakness and showed up for an hour late. And I was very, very, dare I say, not so happy. And now today, I became kind of late for my speaking engagement. What goes around, goes around. Comes around, goes around. And so I want to thank you for your graciousness today. The GPS said I would get here at a certain time, but it did not account for road construction that was happening. That's why I'm late. I want to apologize for that. I know, Christy, I'm sorry I gave you a heart attack. But praise God, I'm here. And so today, it's been a while, and my message today is a message. You guys are on the theme of asking questions from the Bible. Is that correct? That's the theme. So the title of my message is the final question of the final exam. The final question of the final exam. And before I begin, I'm going to ask that we pray, because I need prayer. I need prayer that God blesses this message in spite of myself. So before I begin, let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's presence. Again, the message today is the final question of the final exam. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father, our Father and God in heaven, Father, I need your help right now. Father, I ask you to forgive me for my negligence of knowing the time, but thank you, Father, that you've led me here safely with your safe trial and mercies. And so, Father, in spite of myself, may I be a blessing, not a curse to your people. May you fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that your people be blessed by your love, and how to prepare our minds and hearts for your Son's soon coming. We thank you, Lord, for the message of hope and love in the midst of crisis. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The final exam. A test often determines our career path. A test often determines where we're led in life. Oftentimes, a society defines a test, or oftentimes, we are defined by a test in society. Is that correct? I know in South Korea, which my parents are from, they have an entrance exam for college. And how you score in this entrance exam determines your career, how pretty your wife is, or how handsome your husband is, and what type of social economic background that you will have, what you will have on the basis of the test that you take in high school. In fact, at that time, police escorts the students to the test site so they won't be late. Education is serious business in certain nations. There is a final exam in the school of Christ for people here living the last days. This final exam is described here in Great Controversy, page 605, paragraph 2. Inspiration says, the spirit of prophecy says, the Sabbath will be the great test of loyalty, for it is the point of truth, especially controverted. When the final test shall be brought to bear upon men, then the line of distinction will be drawn between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. While the observance of the false Sabbath is compliance with the law of the state, contrary to the fourth commandment, will be an avowal of the allegiance to a power that is opposition to God, and keeping of the true Sabbath in obedience to God's law is an evidence of loyalty to the Creator. While one class, by accepting the sign of submission to earthly powers, receive the mark of the beast, the other, choosing the token of allegiance to divine authority, receive the seal of God. So, inspiration says there's a final test. This final test is on the Sabbath. And there is a false Sabbath. Now, this false Sabbath is connected to the mark of the beast. Now, people think Mark of the Beast is this, that by default, if you worship in a certain day, you have the Mark of the Beast. That is wrong. Amen. Just because you worship on a certain other day does not mean that you have the Mark of the Beast. Amen. The Mark of the Beast, what makes the Mark of the Beast the Mark of the Beast in this final exam is this. Revelation 13:15. The Bible says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So what makes the Mark of the Beast Mark of the Beast is this. Forced worship. Everyone understand that? When you're forced to worship on a day against your will. Now, God is a God of love and not the God of force. So, we have two choices. We choose to follow the commandments of God because if you love me, keep my commandments. Or you choose to adhere to a government telling you what to do on worshiping a certain day. That is the final test. But there is a final question in that final exam. And that final question, the final exam, is very interesting because that final question, the final exam, determines whether we pass the final exam or not. Notice what the Bible says, what this final test is, or when this final test is, what happens at the end of this final test. This is what happens at the end of the final exam. The Bible says in Revelation 6, verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So that those that fail the final exam are hiding. You know, as Asian folk, when we fail an exam, what happens? We're ashamed, is that correct? Even an A-minus, we get ashamed, is that correct? Some of us know that. A B-plus, that's like an F. But those that fail this final exam will be shamed. But notice who are they ashamed of? The wrath of the Lamb. Now, question, is a lamb a beast of prey or is a peaceful animal? Peaceful animal. A lamb's vegan, is that correct? Lamb doesn't hunt meat. Lamb doesn't have bloodlust. But notice, they run away from a gentle, docile, loving symbol, a lamb. These are those that fail the final exam. But the final question, the final exam, is significant. Because oftentimes, we as Adventists focus on just the Sabbath on the final test. But there is a final question in the final exam that's connected to the Sabbath that we often neglect. And the Bible says this question in this final exam. Notice what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. This is the final question of the final exam. The Bible says in Revelation 6, 17, for the great day of wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? That is the final question of the final exam. Who shall be able to stand? Now, what is the answer to that question? Who shall be able to stand? The Bible also repeats that question or prefigures that question in the Old Testament because many of the texts in the Old Testament is found in the book of Revelation. That's why the Old and the New Testament is connected. And the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 3, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? So today we want to know the right answer to who shall be able to stand. You see, one thing about Jesus is this. Jesus wants you to pass the final exam. Jesus is giving you every advantage possible to pass the final exam. In fact, he gives you the answer to the test before the test happens. How many of you want answers to the test before the test happens? You see, you know, in my school, I have a review sheet for my tests. And in my review sheet, I have all the questions of my test rephrased. And then if the student fills the review sheet diligently, he has the entire test right in front of his face. You'd be surprised how many students do not take the time to fill out their review sheet. I give every advantage possible to pass. But God does more because God wants every to pass. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Bible says, and this is one of my favorite verses, the Lord is willing not that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God wants everyone to pass the final exam. So the question is, or we want to know, how do we pass the final exam? That's what the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 4. Psalms 103, verse 4. The Bible says this. This is the answer. Who shall be able to stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The Bible says, remember, in verse 3, the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 3, who shall be able to stand? The answer is, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. So the answer to the final question, the final exam is this. Do you believe that Jesus forgives your sins? That's the key to the right answer. And notice in Psalms 103, verse 4, the Bible says, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now we think of fear as a scary word. And therefore we account God as someone that's scary. But fear is connected with forgiveness. And I think forgiveness is not scary. Therefore, the Bible says in Revelation 14, 6 and 7, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the what? Everlasting gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. To preach unto them that dwell on the earth and every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of the judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of water. We have a gospel message, an everlasting gospel message, that declares, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And who is the judge? God. And God is our judge. He will save us, and he is there to abundantly pardon or forgive our sins. You know what pardon means? It is as though that you have never sinned. You know, I'm going to give you a little, because I'm a government teacher, this is fresh in my mind, because I'm preparing for AP government for 2019 already, so it's already fresh in my head. You know when a president pardons somebody for breaking federal law? It means that they will never go to prison. That means their record is clean. That means as though that they've never committed that act. But God is seeking to forgive and forget our sins. So who shall be able to stand are those that accept God's forgiveness. We make it all complicated. Oh, Jesus is coming. I'm not ready. Oh, Jesus is coming. I have to get this right or this right in my life. I just not ready. As Seventh-day Adventists, have we said that honestly to ourselves? We're not ready? But Jesus says, if you accept my son's... Jesus says, if you accept my forgiveness and believe that I forgive your sins, that means at that instant, you're able to stand. We make it all too complicated. And so continue on in Psalms 103. Psalms 103, verse 5, knows this. The Bible says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. And what do they hope on? Because God brings forgiveness, according to verse 3. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. So the Bible says those that accept and believe and hope in God's forgiveness that will be able to stand are those that hope and wait on the Lord. Do you hope in the midst of hopelessness? You see, God's word oftentimes seems very impossible. Do you remember Abraham? What did God say to Abraham? Oh, your wife who is past menopause and in her 90s and in a decaying body, she's going to have a child. Hopeless according to science. Hopeless according to the rules of this world. But God's word is fulfilled in the midst of hopelessness. You may feel hopeless that you have gone beyond that God could forgive you. But know this, in the midst of hopelessness, there is hope. And so, in God providing forgiveness, and we can wait upon the Lord, what can we experience? Notice what the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 7. The Bible says this, let Israel hope in the Lord. You know, Israel represents you and I. The Bible says in Galatians 3:29, if you are Abraham, if you accept Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So Israel simply means God's people. So Israel is you and I. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous. What does plenteous mean? Plenty. A lot. Redemption. And he shall redeem Israel or us from all, how many? All. Every single sin we committed, his iniquities. So who shall be able to stand? Those that believe that Jesus has forgiven their sins. That is the key to preparing for the great crisis that's soon to come. Our Adventist message is not a fear-based message. It's a message of hope in the midst of hopelessness. And you see the world today? It seems pretty hopeless. It seems like a historical twilight zone right now. Seeing all the bitterness, all the callousness, so all the, is the Bible predicted this, the love of many waxes cold today. I look at social media and the comments that are made of the political persuasions, both of the conservative and the liberal, and how they fight one another, and how callous they are. There's no empathy. There's no love. We're all here in this room, many of us, we're children of immigrants. Many of us, I know for you that came from Vietnam, you escaped communism to come to America so that you could experience freedom and opportunity. My parents suffered through communism as well, and they came to the United States for freedom and opportunity. America is standing those principles, and we see here that the love of many is waxing cold today, and there is hopelessness. But we as Adventists are here to give hope, because there's another superpower nation. There's another superpower nation that's come on the scene. There's another superpower nation that will come in the scene. It's called the Kingdom of Heaven. It's a true land of the free, free from sin, and home of the brave. In God's nation, there's free health care. We'll be immortal bodies. We'll have eternal life. In God's kingdom, we have free housing. There's no more homelessness. We all have mansions of heaven in a gated community. Amen. In God's kingdom, in God's superpower nation, we have free food in the tree of life. You see, America is decaying right before our eyes, but there is a new superpower kingdom that will soon to come, which is the kingdom of heaven. And there will be no more death, dying, for the former things have passed away. And God is trying to remind us that this world is not our home. And so God is permitting crisis and immorality and all these things to go on to remind us that sin has consequences and that sin leads to suffering and that God is going to put the end of sin and soon establish his kingdom on earth. In the midst of hopelessness, there is hope. And so because Jesus is seeking to forgive us, how can we be empowered to stand? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Into the grace where we what? Stand. And rejoiced in hope of the glory of God. So those who are able to stand are those that are justified by faith. And what does it mean to be justified? Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 9. more, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Jesus took the penalty of eternal damnation on his person at the cross. Therefore, we are forgiven. It is though that we have not never. It is though that we've never committed that sin when we accept that forgiveness. And therefore, we believe that we're forgiven because God's word said it, even though our feelings tell us otherwise. Even Satan says you're too dirty. Even Satan says, oh, you're beyond the point of redemption. Look at you doing that same sin over and over again. God can't accept you. But when we believe that Jesus will forgive our sins, as though in the times of old, the patriarchs believe in the midst of hopelessness, there is hope. We will experience the power to stand in these last days. Do you believe that Jesus forgives your sins today? Not only forgives your sins, but forgets your sins. Because Jesus is seeking to forgive and forget our sins. But when we accept forgiveness, something happens in our life. Because a demonstration of us accepting forgiveness, something happens because now we see the goodness of God. And the goodness of God brings us to repentance. And because God has been so gracious to us, God has given us something that we do not deserve. We want to please God and do everything pleasing in His sight. And notice what the justified do. Notice what the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 20. James chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says this. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works after he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now let me give you some background knowledge here. Did Abraham make mistakes and sin at times in his life, according to sacred history, yes or no? Yes. Remember, he had a point of faithlessness. His faith became weak because God clearly said that Sarah's going to have a child. But Sarah, not believing God's word, convinced Abraham, hey, we could assist God with our own human reasoning. I'll have you marry my servant Hagar, and then that person will be your rightful seed. And what was the consequence of that? A dysfunctional family. But the Bible also says that Abraham was justified by faith. In other words, he was forgiven for his sin. And so when Abraham, later in his years, was at a point in his life, in the twilight of his life, and he saw his son grown into a teenager, Isaac, the miracle child, the miracle baby, God said something very, very, very interesting. He said, go, take your only son Isaac, the promised seed, and offer him as a sacrifice. And what did Abraham do? He obeyed. His forgiveness was demonstrated by obedience. Because we love him because he first loved us. And what did God do? God was just showing to the universe that Abraham accepted forgiveness because forgiveness, the fruit of accepting forgiveness, is obedience. Because you don't want to do that sin again because God has forgiven you so much. But if you fall into that sin, know this, God is still there waiting to accept you and ready to clean you up. The Bible says he's in the door and knocking in our hearts. And so the experience that we can have is this. When we believe that Jesus forgives our sins, when we confess that sin, we can gain victory over that sin and obey God. It's possible through the power of his love. And because the Bible says it, we can believe it. In the midst of hopelessness, there is hope. And so, what happens to those that fail the final exam? What happens there? Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. These are those that fail the final exam. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. They saw Jesus as someone that they did not ask for their sins to be forgiven. They were in the point of no return. Nothing that Jesus could do now could change their minds. And because they did not accept God's forgiveness, they failed the final exam. The question is, who shall be able to stand? The answer is, will you accept God's forgiveness today? Because that is the key to stand in this crisis hour. So those that are justified by faith, what will they experience? Notice the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. The Bible says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. I'll say this, no matter who's in Washington, D.C., in these midterm elections, no matter who's the next president of the United States, things in this world will get worse. It's not going to get better. There's going to be grave challenges facing us. But know this, because Jesus lives, we could face tomorrow. In the midst of hopelessness, there is hope. Because when we accept that Jesus forgives our sins, we can glory in our trials, we can glory in our tribulations, we can glory in our troubles, because we understand that even though things are not going the way that we want to, even though we suffer, even though we go through disappointment and heartbreak, we can realize that God is in control and God will lead us from the test to a testimony. I'm still going through a test right now. A big test. But I know that God's pattern is trying to use this test to make it into a testimony. And so, when we accept that Jesus forgives our sins, and that love awakeneth love, we can then now stand that no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what temptation that happens, no matter what crisis that comes to our lives, we can have patience and hope, because love beareth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. The question is, who do you love? You know, there's a popular, some of you know this, there's a popular South Korean girl group right now that has a song called What is Love? They can't sing anyway. What is love? Love is Jesus, God, coming down to die for our sins, even though we don't deserve it, and to suffer the consequences of our sins so that we could be saved. That is love. Love is self-sacrifice. Love is to give. And that's what God is seeking to do for us. So, the Bible says that we glory in tribulations when we're justified by faith. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Notice what Paul says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence is of things not seen. Did we see Jesus die on the cross for you and I? Physically? No. Do we see Jesus right now? No. Do we see a lot of hopelessness here today? Yes. But even though the visual evidence is contrary, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope for what? Hope for God's word to be fulfilled. And the Bible says, what is faith? Through faith, we understand. This is verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are not seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, the same creative power that brought entire worlds to existence is the same creative power that could give us a new heart. The same creative power that said, let there be light in the voidness of the darkness of the formlessness of the earth, is the same God that can bring a new heart and to bring a new life and to bring life and life more abundantly to our lives. So we may feel like we're hopeless. We may feel like we're not worthy of God. But just like God turned the voidless, empty earth into something beautiful of life, of oceans, of green shrubbery, of flowers, of animals, of the pair of humans, Adam and Eve, the most beautiful crowning act of creation ever created by God. So too, God can make all things beautiful in His time. Do you have an ugly life here today, brothers and sisters? Do you feel that your life is ugly and you're ashamed? In the midst of that voidness, in the midst of that pain and brokenness, know this. God's creative power can make all things beautiful in His time. The whole point of the plan of redemption is to demonstrate the love and creative power of God's Word. To bring from the midst of hopelessness, hope. In the midst of drudgery, peace. In the midst of being lost, to be saved. In the midst of death, life. God is seeking to do that for you and I. And so, what will God's people do that go through the great final exam, that great crisis? Notice this, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. This is the 144,000. You want to be part of the 144,000? They did something very special that were able to stand in that crisis hour. The Bible says this, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said unto thee, These are they which came out of great tribulation." They came out of the final exam. But they answered the final question, the final exam. How? "Have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And what is the blood of the Lamb? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. You want to be part of the 144,000, God's final generation, that will not see death? Those that wash their robes with the blood of the Lamb. And how do we wash our robes by the blood of the Lamb? If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, humanity, in human laws, in government laws, if you commit a crime, it's in a permanent record. You have a record of your crime. Not only that, but social media and the news, and there's every other recording device possible in the media and society and the history books to record all the bad things you did. But in God's legal system, if you say, "Father, forgive me for this sin, take this away from me," that instant, God presses the delete button in your social media profile in heaven. And when you press delete, there's no digital footprint, and it's gone forever to the bottom of the sea. Jesus is seeking to forgive and forget our sins. And those that are in 144,000 know that they were saved because they realize the depth and the magnitude of God's forgiveness for you and I. Do you want to stand today? Believe that Jesus forgives your sins. And so, what is the question that Jesus asks? No, and so, how do we learn to prepare to stand? What do we need to do? Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Notice the counsels of Jesus. "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that have come to pass, and stand before the Son of God." Now, we as Adventists, and this is the right application, we believe when we say watch, we need to watch for the signs of the last days. We need to watch. Amen. God has given us these signs in the last days to realize that the final exam is coming. But the Bible also says, "Watch and pray always to escape all things so that you could stand." Who shall be able to stand? Stand before the Son of Man. There's another thing we need to watch along with the signs of the last days. And oftentimes, will cause many Seventh-day Adventists, conservative, quote-unquote, quote-unquote, present truth Seventh-day Adventists, to be lost, is that they only watch the signs, and they don't watch the one that gave them the signs. There's something else that we need to watch. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is ever before us. So how do we let go of our sins, the sins that easily beset us? How do we do that? How do we watch and pray? Looking unto Jesus. Do you watch Jesus? You know, you stare at something that you like or love, don't you? Couples, don't you stare at each other? Is that correct? I hope so. Lost in each other's eyes, as that song says. We look at something, we stare at something that we like or that we yearn for. The Bible says, though, looking into Jesus, why? He is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, He is the author. He writes our faith, and He will finish our faith. In other words, He wants to take control of our life stories. And if Jesus said that He is the author, He writes our faith, and He will finish our faith, and we believe it, we can be able to stand because Jesus forgives and forgets our sins. And why was He the author and finisher of our faith? For the joy that was set before Him. What was the joy that was set before Him? Enduring the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus' joy is through His suffering that we are saved and join Him in the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's a saying, love will be the death of me. Well, love was the death of Jesus because it was His love that caused us to die so that we could be forgiven. If you had a drag of that cigarette yesterday, or you smoked that weed, or went to that nightclub, or did inappropriate things with another person, know this. Jesus died for that. He suffered for that. And He's saying, my child, give it to me. Let me forgive you. Let me take that away from you. Let me take away the guilt from your heart and restore you so that you could be able to stand for that final exam. And so there's a question that Jesus asks in the final exam, along with who shall be able to stand. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? The question is, will Jesus find faith on that earth? And what is that faith? Will Jesus find a generation of people that believes that He forgave their sins and will give them a new heart and a new mind and will write the law in His mind and their heart and write the laws in their minds and hearts so that in that most darkest time in earth's history, that no matter what Satan does, their love for Jesus will allow them to obey Him? And what is the question as we bring some final points? What is the answer to that question? The Bible says this in Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The answer is yes. And you and I can pass that final exam. You and I can answer the question, who shall be able to stand? And the question is answered, I can stand because Jesus stands in my behalf. In the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary. We make things complicated, we as Adventists. But the simple formula is this. In order for to be ready for Jesus to come, do you believe that Jesus loves you? Do you believe that Jesus will forgive you? I mean, really forgive you. Really take away that sin and really give you a new life and a new heart. Do you believe? Or are you paralyzed by what Satan is saying? You're dirty. You're not good enough. Look at you. You're a Seventh-day Adventist. You did this. You know better. You're beyond hope. Look at you. You're raised in reading The Desire of Ages and Great Controversy. You've listened to Audioverse. You went to GYC Southwest. But look at you. You still keep on sinning. Look at you. You can't have victory. But Jesus says, in the midst of our human frailties, in the midst of our brokenness, Jesus said, I have come to save them from the uttermost. My forgiveness has a depth that no human mind can comprehend. And the question is, will you accept that forgiveness today? You see, in the Great Controversy, in one of the final chapters, there's a chapter called Jacob's Time of Trouble. This is the final generation of God's people that survived the crisis hours. And now there's a death decree that surrounds God's people, and God's people are in the mountains, surrounded by all the governments of the world. And in the mountains and caves, they are experiencing the final question of the final exam, because Satan is going to come to God's last generation. These are those that are perfected. These are those that have gained victory over every sin. These are those that in heaven's eyes will make it. But the people of this last generation on earth during this final exam or this final question feels hopeless, because Satan's going to come to them and saying, look at you, you're dirty. Look at you, you're hopeless. You think you're worthy to be saved? And God's redeemed people that are going through this immense struggle, in the midst of this hopeless feeling, even though they don't feel like they're forgiven, they hold on to Jesus. Remember Jacob? What happened to Jacob in the midst of his hopelessness? All that guilt and pain was upon his chest when he was wrestling an angel. That was a perfectly hopeless condition when you wrestle a divine being. He was now crippled, but he did not let go of God. He said, I will not let you go till you bless me. God's end time people that will be saved will believe, even though they feel hopeless, that Jesus will forgive their sins. And that is the key to victory. You see, the faith of Jesus is also demonstrated in this. Jesus at the cross. You know, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus at the cross, when all the sins of the world, past, present, and future, was upon him, Jesus knew the prophecy that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But when the sins of the humanity was pressed upon his chest, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's natural to feel that way. His humanity was crying out. He felt hopeless. There was no evidence that he will be saved beyond the word. But even in the midst of that hopelessness, Jesus said, unto you, God, I commit my spirit. This faith will only be developed every day, moment by moment, when we dwell upon in our devotional times the goodness of God and how much He forgives us. In the midst of hopelessness, there is hope. That is the message of our end time Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is the end time gospel message that Jesus is seeking to forgive us and to restore us and to transform us from our dirty selves to be someone clean and white. And we can experience that journey today. Holy Father, our Father and God in heaven, Father, we thank you that although you ask who shall be able to stand, you already give us the answer. Those that have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. and gain forgiveness by confessing their sins. And Father, I don't know what your people here have been going through throughout the week, but I know that I've had my struggles and I've had my failures. And Father, even though oftentimes I look at myself, my dirty, messed up self, that I fall so low from the mark of righteousness, Father, I thank you that you're still merciful with me, that you're seeking to forgive me and clean me up and propel me to that standard. And so, Father, today, if there's someone here today under the sound of my voice that is hurting, that are in the bondage of guilt, that feels empty and fearful, may you penetrate their darkness with the light of your love and to remind them that you love them, that you sent your Son to die for them, that if we forgive our, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And brothers and sisters, as their heads are bowed and eyes are closed, is there someone here today that say, Father, today, I want to let go of my pain. I want to let go of my guilt. Father, today, I want to experience the freedom of your love and to accept the answer to the final exam, to accept your forgiveness and your love for me. Father, today, I accept your forgiveness and your mercy and your pardon. If that's your desire, I ask you to stand if that's your desire. The Bible says, who shall be able to stand? And we stand here today to say, Father, today, I accept your forgiveness. I accept your mercy. And I will be able to stand because of your love. That whatever Sunday law, whatever new world order, whatever tribulation or crisis that Satan throws at me, I will be able to stand because I've accepted your love and your forgiveness and mercy that will empower me to keep your commandments. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I am standing with your people because I want to pass the final exam. Father, we thank you for giving the answer, the final answer to the final exam, that when we accept your forgiveness and your love, we could stand in that crisis hour and be justified as though that we have never sinned. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. And Father, if there's someone here today that feels the bondage of guilt in their heart, in their mind, in their souls, may you break free, according to your word and your love, that bondage here today, that they find freedom and confidence in your love. We thank you, Lord, that although crisis is coming, but Christ will come to deliver us from this time of trouble. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.